This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Calling all gridiron gurus. Ever wonder how fans first paid a premium to watch football on TV? Today we have historian Timothy Brown joining us to delve into the forgotten era of early pay-per-view for America's favorite sport. Buckle up and get ready for a touchdown worth of knowledge. It's the football archaeology of early pay-per-view TV. Coming up with Tim in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And welcome to another Tuesday where we get to go and visit with our friend Timothy Brown of FootballArchaeology.com. Tim, welcome back to the Pigpen.
Hey, Darren. How are you doing? And I am looking forward to chatting about pay-per-view, as you said.
Yeah, I think you are, because you told me just to have the video of you here, I had to pay you to view it. So, that money's in the mail, so don't worry, it's coming.
Okay, good. It is in cash, right?
It's Canadian cash. Is that okay?
That's fine. I live right across the river, so
okay. Well, good.
I can use Canadian dollars.
That's great.
Or loonies or toonies, whatever you got.
Oh, he's got the whole vernacular done. All right. All right. Well, Tim, you are referring to, of course, a tidbit that you wrote recently titled Football and Early Pay-Per-View Television. And that's an interesting thing, especially what we've been seeing here in the last year or two with the NFL and taking us into some different venues of watching TV. Maybe you could speak on those, the history and what's going on now.
Yeah. So, so this tidbit got published in, looks like it was February. And so I published it in reaction to, NFL games being on Peacock. And, now for whatever reason, I get Peacock for free, so it didn't bother me that games were on Peacock, but, there were a bunch of people who don't have Peacock, and, there's different things. Like, I'm a big CFL fan, and I couldn't get CFL games for part of the last year because they had switched their package. And, so access to the games is a big deal, and even if you're a casual fan, you want to be able to watch the games. So, and just generally, we've become so accustomed to easy access to games, whether it's college or pro, but especially NFL. We're so accustomed to just, all you got to do is go to one of the major channels and the game's going to be there. It's just an assumption. And so, part of the reason for writing this is because that certainly was not always so, right? I mean, the game was not always available. And so, historically, football teams didn't have television money. They relied on the ticket sales or the gate. They got, if they owned the stadium, they got some money for billboards, from an advertising perspective. They got, from vendors that were, selling goods in the stadium. And then later on, they also picked up radio, but, not a whole lot of money coming out of radio. So the huge influx and, it was certainly one of the several biggest influences in the game of football, at least in terms of college and pro, was the influx of television money, because it just funded so much in the way of salaries and specialized coaching and just so many things that changed the nature of the game. So, but it's one of those deals where When we, sometimes, people look at history and say, well, okay, this is the way it happened. So that was the way it was going to happen, and or it had to happen. And that's just not true. I mean, it's as much history is much about what could have happened as what did happen, because there's just all kinds of alternative histories. If something else had changed, it could have happened a different way. And so pay-per-view is one of those. We think that the only way it could have happened, as far as television rights and everything in college and pro football, is the way it occurred. But there were other, other forces at work that just didn't play out as well. And so, I use, kind of that kind of background thinking, and then talk about the 1963 NFL championship game. And so even then, so television was getting, was starting to really run, and they had already negotiated the, and probably the biggest turning point was that they got the, they basically, Congress passed the whatever it's the Sports Act of 1963 or whatever it was, but that basically, gave antitrust exemptions to pro football that allowed them to negotiate league-wide contracts rather than franchise by franchise contracts, which is what they had had to do before. So that changed the dynamic, but still PPV was still out there. So at the time in 63, and it carried on, I forget when it finally ended, but NFL teams and AFL teams had blackouts. So any game, like if you lived in Green Bay, or Pittsburgh or Baltimore or wherever you lived, you could not broadcast that game. You could not broadcast an NFL game within 75 miles of the site of the game. And so, if, basically people never saw home games unless they had tickets, because they wanted to force people to buy tickets, right? Because that's where the money was. The money wasn't, the money still wasn't in television. The money was in the tickets, ticket sales.
I can tell
So,
you, we still have blackouts here.
why?
They even black out when you have NFL ticket. We're in Buffalo, the Buffalo Bills market here.
Okay.
We're within 100 miles of Buffalo, 100 miles of Cleveland, 100 miles of Pittsburgh. So we sort of, if there is an away game for Buffalo, they have all the rights because they have to show the away games for Buffalo. Even if Cleveland is playing Pittsburgh in a rivalry game, we sometimes can't see that because of that.
Wow.
Now, I had pay-per-view, and I think it was Pittsburgh playing at Buffalo. It didn't sell out, and the game was blacked out in my
Yeah,
area, even
yeah.
though I had the NFL ticket. So they still black things out for the home teams.
Okay, so I didn't realize that. I didn't
Yeah.
realize that was still going on.
It's crazy. I don't know why, but they do.
So, but okay, so I mean, if you live in an area like that, then then it's a current experience for people, right? But so back then it was, so this here it is, the NFL championship game, and in a darn good sized city like Chicago, which at the time was probably the number three city in the country, right? And the game isn't being televised. It's played at Wrigley Field, so only 48,000 people can get in there. And so what they did was, this is again still the time when people are thinking pay-per-view is going to be the model. And at that point, there was kind of a, is pay-per-view something that's going to happen in movie theaters? Like when I was a kid, there were still boxing matches that you'd go to the theater to watch them. Or is it something that's going to happen in home? And so at that point, what they, it was, they had three locations, so like the McCormick Center, big convention center, like Chicago Stadium or something like that, and some big theater. But they had 48,000 in Wrigley Field. They had 25,500 in these three theaters to go watch the game, and if you live far enough outside of Chicago, then you just drove to the boundary line and you went to a bar and watched it, watch the game there. But so, I mean, it just tells you how many people would want to go watch a game and pay for it. And it was, the game was end of December. So if you went and watched it at a pay-per-view location, it was warm, which was nice, And there were still a lot of people at that time predicting pay-per-view is going to be the model, right? And we've talked about this before where the idea is there, but the technology isn't to make it happen, right? Whether that's equipment or broadcasting. And in this case, it was broadcasting. So there were people saying that what was going to happen is that there were going to be in a community, you'd have your television, and then you'd have an attachment on top of your television where you would feed quarters into this little box, like a parking meter kind of thing, and get to watch some show for 25 minutes or 30 minutes or whatever it was. But it was like, I mean, people were like, yeah, this is going to happen. Then it's like, well, who the hell's going to come around and collect all these quarters? You got to make sure somebody's home to get in their house to collect them. But actually, after writing this, I found out there was actually one city. I forget where it was, but there was one city at least where they actually had this whole system set up, and people would go around and collect the quarters from people's houses. I mean, it's just bizarre. But again, this is. There weren't credit cards. There weren't magnetic strips. I mean, there were credit cards, but they were paper. There were no magnetic strips. There's no, you couldn't pay by internet. There are no subscription. There was no streaming. All that kind of stuff. Things we take for granted today. So you can't. It's like, well, why didn't they just stream it? Well, there was no streaming, right?
Right.
So, anyways, I just think it's really fun to kind of look back at that. But it's this thing of, it's what they call the naturalistic assumption. Just because you can't get an ought from it is, just because something is that way doesn't mean it ought to be that way or had to be that way. And so, that's kind of the history is written by what happened, largely by what happened as opposed to what could have happened, So
Yeah, most
it's just an
definitely.
amusing episode.
Yeah. Definitely. Now, did they call it pay-per-view in your area when you were growing up? Because here they called those like for the boxing and wrestling and anything like that. It was called closed circuit
Closed
TV.
circuit, yeah. I think mostly people called it closed circuit,
Okay.
but yeah, actually closed circuit. Another thing on football, there was a period, actually mostly early '60s, where maybe it was a little bit earlier, maybe it was late '50s too, but there was a time when people's football coaches started using closed circuit technology to watch game film while the game was going on, or game tape. And they do it on the sidelines, they do it up in the booth, and then they finally axed that because at the college level they axed it more for money. It was becoming an arms race, technology arms race. And then the NFL just said, boom, no more of this. So that is the underlying reason why even today, I mean, now people have the pads, iPads on the sideline, but
But well,
basically,
you get the sponsor rates. Microsoft Surface. That's the only thing that
Yes,
they use. Yeah,
sorry.
the
My bad. Well, they're your
NFL police were
sponsorship.
coming to
They're
your
your
door.
sponsorship rights, not mine. I've got my socks pulled up all the way, by the way. So yeah, but so I mean that whole thing of not having technology on the sideline originated during this pay-per-view and closed circuit, same technology, same underlying technology and time.
Now, I guess the other question is that it's a more of an ethical question. I know you said in the beginning that you have the free Peacock and you got it on. Well, I have the free version of Peacock and I couldn't get that game. They wanted me to pay the whatever $5, $7 a month to join their Peacock club or whatever the hell it is to watch it. So I was one of the ones that I said just on the purpose of it. I said, why can't I watch every other playoff game and I can't watch this sub-zero game in with the Dolphins going to Kansas City. So.
Well, so like myself, I do the ESPN Plus because that gives me access to the college games for
And
basically an FCS kind of school that I, follow. I get their football and basketball that way. And in the past, it gave me access to a lot of CFL games. So, it's like, I'll pay that, to get access to
Right,
both.
I have that as
But,
well. Yeah.
I don't, it'd be a tough call for me to pay more money for something else just to watch a couple of games here and there.
Yeah, it's I don't know where they plan, because I know they plan on doing more games this coming year on that same thing. And I heard they might be, because I think every team's going to be playing a game out of country. That's what they had that 17 games. So every team is going to lose one home game eventually. I don't think it's going to be fully that way this year, but I think they may be doing that to those games in not just in 2024, but years beyond that. I heard where you can't go to the stadium, and the only way you can watch your team is to do, Amazon. You have to have Amazon Prime, or you got to have Peacock, or you have Paramount, or whoever else is going to join the club here for viewing television, so
Yeah,
broadcasting television.
that's, we'll see how all that stuff works out. I mean, it's one of those things where, I think generally the availability has increased the popularity, over time. And now they're starting to try to figure out, okay, is there still a way to make even more money? And, maybe they're going to, kill the golden goose, but, that's for other people to decide.
Right. And I didn't even see what the numbers were. I don't know if they made them public, what the numbers were for that Peacock game. Because I would have to believe they got a small portion of what they would have normally got if it would have been on NBC.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't. I watch. I'm pretty religious about watching my favorite teams, but for the average, Sunday afternoon NFL game, I don't watch much of anything. I'll watch a little bit here and there, but not really.
All
So.
right. Well, hey, I mean, that's a great story, and it's something that's sort of coming true in our
Yeah.
lifetime here. So we may have to be facing that more and more as we go on, because I know there's at least two or three games this coming season, regular season and playoff games, where they plan on having it. Well, there's Amazon every week, so I guess we are paying for it now in some respects. People don't have Amazon, have to pay for that, but yeah, it's coming. And like you say, the NFL's a billion-dollar industry for a reason, and that's they know how to make money off folks like us. That's for sure.
We'll see.
Yeah, right. Now, Tim, you have some great pieces of history, just like you spoke about here, that you write about on a regular basis, and you have, I believe, 1,000 of them now. Maybe you could share with the listeners and viewers where they can enjoy some of your writing.
Yep, it's footballarchaeology.com. It's a Substack, app or Substack, newsletter blog. So just go there, subscribe. You'll get an email every day, or not every day, but every time I publish. And alternatively, you can follow me on Twitter, on Threads, or on the Substack app. And at least you'll get exposed to what's out there.
All
So.
right. Tim, we really appreciate you sharing the story with us, and enjoy having you here each week, and we hope to talk to you again next Tuesday.
Yep, look forward to it. Thank you.
We're taking a peek over at the chains and the down marker. It's fourth and long. We're going to have to punt the ball and get on out of here, but we'll have another series tomorrow for your football history headlines, so be sure to tune in. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear.
Hey there, sports history fan.
This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I hope that you enjoyed this recent episode presented by the Sports History Network and were able to learn some good old-fashioned sports history knowledge nuggets. I started the Sports History Network back in 2020 with the mission to help podcasters find a community of like-minded sports history nerds, as well as helping aspiring podcasters to start their own shows. We have a little bit over 30 shows on the network right now covering all sorts of sports history, but as far as I'm concerned, we're just at the toothpick in the ocean moment, you know, that can't even figure it out because there's so much more coming. We wanted to create the ultimate headquarters for sports yesteryear, starting with Podcast Network and our website, but we're going to continue to move into other mediums as well. And here's the cool part, because we want you to be part of our team. So if you're interested in starting your own podcast, or maybe being a guest on one of our shows, or who knows, maybe even writing an article for us over on the website. Seriously, all you gotta do is reach out to us on the contact page over at sportshistorynetwork.com. You can be as technologically savvy as a Neanderthal tapping on a stone trying to figure out this whole hieroglyphics thing back in the day. Again, it doesn't matter, because even if you don't understand the whole podcast space, we have a production team that can pretty much help you out with doing everything. All you gotta do, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com, head to the contact page, fill it out. That message goes right to me, and I'll reach out to you as soon as I can. But for now, dude, I'm through if you're through.